got your Bibles, turn with me to Jonah 1, verse 1 through 3. Jonah 1, 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came into the son of Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wicked ways is coming up before me." But Jonah rose to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and sent, and went down into it. So he go with them into Tarshish for the presence of the Lord.
As we read those first three verses in Jonah 1, did you notice how the book begins? Jonah 1:1 starts with the word "now." There are some Bible books that begin with this word, especially if you have the King James. Other books which start off with "now" include Ezekiel, Esther, 1 Samuel, Ruth, and Judges. This is a little word, and especially as it begins a Bible book, it is easy to read that word and you just continue on with the text. But today we want to stop with the opening word in Jonah 1:1. And see if we can attach some significance to the word "now." This must be an important word because God chose to use it in his word. And he not only chose to use the word "now" in his word, but if you look at this word, you find that it is used, if you combine both testaments, approximately 1,500 times. So this is a small word, but in God's sight, it is an important word, one that perhaps we often pass over, so it deserves attention. For today's study, we want to limit our attention to the New Testament, and I'm going to look at some passages in reverse order. That is, I'm going to start with the book of 1 John and move in reverse. We will end up eventually with 2 Corinthians. That will be the last chapter, or last book, rather, that we cite a passage from. The first passage that I want to bring to your attention comes from the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. John had to deal with some people who had an improper understanding of Jesus. There were some people in John's day who did not think Jesus was associated with the Godhead or not equal with the Father. He had some power, some force, but he was not really associated with the true God. And John said in 1 John 4:3 that this kind of thinking was associated with the Antichrist. Today, at the present time, there is a lot of teaching about an Antichrist. People think that he's right around the corner, that a specific person is almost here, and that we are in imminent danger. But notice what John said in 1 John 4:3. "And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already." This verse was written almost 2,000 years ago. And John said 2,000 years ago, the Antichrist was a problem at that time. The expression Antichrist, a lot of people throw that expression around, but they don't explain it. It simply means anti, means opposed. So when you read about an Antichrist or you hear someone talk about an Antichrist, it simply means a person or a force which is opposed to Christ. And in New Testament times, the Bible says there were forces opposed to Jesus, and this problem still exists. The word "now" in 1 John 4:3 shows that all of the premillennial teaching of today, and there is a lot of it being done, it's all wrong. Saying that we're, you know, now in the last times, and now there is some special power force, and it's almost ready to be unleashed, and so forth. Well, that's coming from people who are not well-versed in Scripture. That kind of teaching sells books, it makes for a good TV program, it interests people as they listen to a radio program, but it's not true. For an additional cross-reference, you might see 1 John 2:18, because John, in 1 John 2:18, said, "Now, 2,000 years ago, there were many antichrists." And again, if he told the truth, then that certainly shoots a lot of holes in the modern-day theories. All right, second reference. First one came from 1 John 4, backing up one chapter to 1 John 3, verse 2. The connection between 1 John 4 and 1 John 3 is the little word "now." If you found the third chapter, let's look at the second verse. "Beloved, now are we become children of God, but it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is." If we have become a child of God, the Bible says that is now. In other words, we do not need to wait 6 months for a probationary period. Sometimes there's a trial period. People must wait 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, 6 months, a year ago, before something happens, before they are entitled to certain benefits, or perhaps before they are made a member of a certain organization. The Bible says in 1 John 3:2 that once we are obedient to God, if we become a Christian now, immediately, instantly, we are adopted into God's household. This past week, I read some information about American medical care and the Veterans Administration. It was said that veterans are going more and more to VA hospital because they can get good medical care at a fraction of the cost. That's the good news. But the bad news in the article was the wait. According to the article, the number of people waiting to see a VA doctor for the first time is above 202,000 people. And some of these people, they're looking for a medical appointment that is so simple, just to ask a basic question or to ask a doctor to continue to prescribe a certain medicine for them. If a guy's got a heart condition or a kidney stone, he may be a year wait. So it's a long wait, and some of the people can't wait that long. But God says to the person who is a Christian, now you are a member of my family. Once you obey the conditions God has put in his word, we are instantly saved and immediately entitled to heaven's blessings. Another now passage which comes from the New Testament, backing up just a little bit more, this time to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. In 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, Peter was drawing a contrast between the people who lived in the time of Noah and their experience, their physical salvation, and what happens today in the spiritual part of life for people. That is our spiritual salvation, becoming a child of God, 1 John 4, verse 2. If you found 1 Peter 3, towards the end of the chapter, verses 20 and 21, let's start with the 20th verse. That aforetime were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, which also after a true likeness doth, here's our word, now save you, even baptism, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter is saying that at a time prior to the New Testament, God had different plans for people. Way back when, there was a plan for Adam and Eve. A little later, there was a plan for Noah. Build a boat, build an ark, and put everybody on there who's willing to come. There was a plan for Moses and the Israelites. There was a plan for the Gentiles who lived under the Old Testament. There was a plan for the people of Nineveh. There was a plan for northern and section Israel. But in the New Testament era, the period that we are under, God says to the entire world, now. That is, there has been a change in God's plan for salvation. That's what the word now points to. There's been a change in the testament, a change in the covenant, a change in the law, a change in the rules. And Peter says, this change which now exists applies to the area of salvation. God says in 1 Peter 3:21 that now baptism saves us. What does that mean? The expression now saves us means that this was not true in the past. Quite often we have people ask us why the thief on the cross was not baptized. I've had some people treat me and other members of the church like we've never heard of the thief. We have that section marked out of our Bibles. Well, that's not the case. We're not hesitant to talk about this man. We're not unaware of this man. But notice what Peter wrote. Perhaps Peter was thinking about the thief when he penned this verse. The thief lived and died under the Old Testament. He lived and died back then. But we live in the now time. And Peter says God's plan for the current age, the now time, involves baptism. If we're in the now time, we don't go back to the then time to figure out God's plan for salvation and Christian living. Reference number four is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. In this passage, Paul talks about a young preacher who had done a good job. He says, as he writes to this man, you've been nourished in the words of the faith. Paul says to Timothy, you have followed the words of good or faithful doctrine. And he says to this young evangelist, you have done these things until now. One of the joys available to Christians as they live their lives is to look at their past and to say, I have been faithful to God. I have done as my Heavenly Father to the best of my ability. I've done a good job in Christian living until now. This is a standard that we can strive for and achieve because Timothy did it. And when we do this, thinking about what we have accomplished, realizing that we have been faithful until the present time is not boasting. That's simply evaluating our Christian life and drawing a factual conclusion. The word now, when we look at 1 Timothy 4:6, allows us to evaluate our past and encourages us to stay on the right road as we deal with the future. If we've stayed faithful to God until the present moment, what about tomorrow? What about the rest of our life? We've had a good past. We've had a good history, but what about tomorrow and the next day? One of our goals should be, just as Paul said, I have lived as a faithful child of God until now. And in the heart there is the conviction that such will continue. Another verse, a related verse, and I'm going to be reading this one, comes from a little bit further in the Bible as we back up, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. In Colossians 3, Paul presents two very different ways of life. He lists qualities which are associated with good and God. And then he lists qualities which are the opposite, qualities which are joined with Satan and the ways of the world. Verse 8 deals with the negative part of life, with the old life that Christians are to be through with and be disconnected from. He says, but now, do ye also put them all away? And then he begins to list some of the sins: anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. In other words, when a Christian finds sin in his or her life, we are obligated to attack it. Bad habits, actions that are contrary to the Christian life, are to be destroyed. And Paul, as you look at Colossians 3:8, says, hey, do not start to address these items in a year or two. Don't wait until the kids are grown or until, you know, you're ready to retire. But Paul says, when you find spots, when you find blemishes, when you find problems in your Christian life, the right time to deal with them is now. Address it as quickly as possible. And we use this principle in the world. Paul said to use it in the church. Some problems, most problems, are most easily fixed when they're small, or if we address them when we first find them. A leak, we want to deal with that now rather than wait 6 months. Grass is easier to cut when it's 3 inches tall instead of having three-foot weeds. A single dish is easier to wash than a sink full of dishes. So God says to us, use the same principle, use the same truth in the spiritual realm, do it now. All right, backing up from Colossians, we'll go to the book of Philippians. Here, looking at the first chapter, Philippians 1, verse 5. As you look at this entire book, you find that Paul had a very close relationship with the Christians at Philippi. This epistle is like a letter between close friends. And in the first chapter, Paul makes it very clear that his good friends at Philippi had helped him for a long time. For your fellowship and furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now. The Philippians had helped Paul in the past, and when this letter was written, Paul said, your support has lasted and lasted. It's lasting even until the present time. It's easy for a person to start a project but not finish it. Most of us know people who have started a hobby, begun a project, but they lost interest. There are some people who are known as good starters but poor finishers. When we take a job in regard to our faith, when we involve ourselves in a task related to Christianity, Philippians 1:5 says, stay with it. If we're involved in a good work, approach it in such a way where we can say, even now, I am still doing it. The word now reminds us to continue working for and serving God. 1 Timothy 4:6 reminds us, a passage given a few minutes ago, about doctrine, faithfulness and doctrine. We want to have that as part of our past, and we want to continue to do that. But Philippians 1:5 reminds us about every area of the Christian life. And we need to do this because of what Paul said a couple chapters earlier in Ephesians 5, verse 8. Backing up to the next book, Paul says, we were children of darkness. That is, we had a way of life which was contrary to God. We were living like people from the world. We were outside of God's fellowship. But in Ephesians 5, 8, Paul says, now we are children of light. We have a new life. And because of the new life, because of the now status that Christians have, we've been immediately adopted into God's family. 1 John, the reference that we gave there, chapter 3 and verse 2, we are to live as God wants. So when we look at this little word now, we find that it has a lot to say about God's will for our daily lives. In fact, if you were to look at the New Testament, you would find the word now occurs more than 450 times. So this is a small word, but it has a lot of bearing on every Christian's life. This is a word that if we remember, we can apply it almost 7 days per week to help us live a better life in the sight of God. It's going to help us as a Christian. It also is useful to the person who's not a Christian. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, the Bible says, behold, now is the acceptable time. At different times, people consider being a Christian, becoming a Christian. Perhaps a young person, perhaps someone who is well into the adult years. And many wonder when they should obey God. Should I wait until Sunday? Sunday morning? Sunday night? Should I wait until Wednesday? Should I wait until after a certain birthday comes? Should I wait until my relatives get into town? People ask the question in different ways. When is the right time? That God tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the right time to become a Christian. Now is the right time for Christians to begin working for God. And as I said, this is one of the words that can help a Christian each day of his life. When we think, I need to send a card to that person someday. I need to make a phone call. I need to schedule a visit. I need to help someone. Remember Jonah 1:1. Now. And 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the acceptable time. This morning, if you have a need to become a Christian, as Peter described in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, this is God's plan for now. Or you need to be strengthened as a child of God. The time to make those decisions, the Bible says, is now. And will you not do that now as we stand and sing the selected song?